Betsy Corning says, when disciplining your children, little things matter.
So many times mothers will say, well, do I have to address it immediately? It's just a little thing. Well, it's just a little thing if you address it immediately, but otherwise it gets to be blown up into this great big thing, and then you have sort of a World War III on your hands with your three-year-old.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, July 5th. This week, Betsy Corning has been showing us how to guide our children's hearts. We've also heard from some women Betsy's been mentoring, Gina Cho and Steph Caterer. Here's Nancy to pick up that conversation.
I'm so grateful for my friend Betsy Corning and the resources that she's developed around a study called Entrusted with a Child's Heart that we've been discussing over the last several days. And I know we have lots of moms who listen to Revive Our Hearts who say, we want our children to know the Lord, to love the Lord, to walk with Him. But there's nothing automatic about that, is there, Betsy?
No, there isn't.
There's no magical formula that just, you know, you do these six things.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Wouldn't it be great? And if you had written that book, it would be a huge bestseller, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, I'm convinced.
But you've written a study that has lots of practical insights, and it's a study that can be done by an individual, a couple. It can be done ideally in the context of a local church where people are growing together in their understanding of God's ways and where families are being raised together in the church to love the Lord. We've sought to do that in our ministry where we have lots of families with children, and we consider this is all our responsibility.
It is.
We're to care for each other's children. Now, I'm not responsible ultimately for yours, but I have a burden that your children would walk with the Lord and that our staff children would. And so for a church to go through this study together is a great resource. And in fact, that's how it really began, was as a Bible study for moms.
Yes. And we would observe families and the difficulties that our families were having. And we thought, wouldn't there be a great way if we could take families through biblical principles so that they wouldn't be reaching some really serious crisis points in their lives? Is there a way that people could understand God's biblical blueprint for families? And so to put it together in such a way that people see that this is for my family, and we're not taking it out of context, but we're laying it out there. It's hard. I thought that really when I did this, there would be 100 of these around the country, and still 12 years later, I'm finding people are telling me, I've never seen anything like this, and this is what I've been craving. And so, you know, praise God for that.
And you've continued to hone and develop these materials so that now they can be used, reproduced, and used in churches all across the country. And if listeners will go to our website, reviveourhearts.com, there's a link to Entrusted Ministries so that they can find the different resources you have there, the workbook, the DVD curriculum, the 22-week curriculum, scripture memory cards, and a book called Entrusted with a Child's Heart. That book we're making available through Revive Our Hearts during this series. Now, as you've developed this material, Betsy, there are other women, lots of them now, who've been through the course. It's a 9-month course the way you do it in your church, and whose lives are now bearing testimony to the power of these principles. It's not your course. It's
right.
God's Word that is having the impact. And we've had with us during the series two of those women, Gina Cho and Steph Caterer. So before we get any further, Steph and Gina, let me just welcome you to the broadcast and say thank you for joining us and just sharing how God has been using these principles in your lives.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We're very excited to be here with you.
And excited is a word that describes you ladies, because you're just bubbling over and very full, because these principles that you've studied in this resource have not just affected your children. They have certainly done that. But I can tell that they've really had an impact in your life and your walk with the Lord as well.
Yes. And the core of this ministry is, one illustration I like to use, it's like a mirror. And you think you're looking into God's Word to know how to raise your children. And it becomes a mirror back into what's in the mom's heart, what's in my heart, and what am I battling? And am I being rebellious to God's will and my circumstances? So you're exactly right, because the more I am in God's Word, the more I realize how weak I am and how things are beyond my control. And now I'm learning that's where God wants us to be. at the end of ourselves so that he can do his work in us.
I think that must be the prayer from a mom's heart that God most loves, and that is, help!
Yes, exactly.
Lord, I don't know what to do. And the starting place really is in a mom's own heart, as you've just said, Gina, in your own walk with the Lord. And Steph, I know you encountered these principles when you were a pretty new believer. So how has God used this content to help shape your own heart and your own walk with the Lord?
God has given me, through Betsy and through Entrusted, a biblical roadmap for parenting, for being a mom, for being a wife. My husband is one of the biggest supporters of Entrusted Ministries. He says to Betsy more often, I mean, he's not a very excitable person, and he gets so excited about Entrusted. And he said, it changed our family's life. He'll just say over and over to Dave and Betsy, encouraging them, because it clarifies our family plan for us. We didn't have a family plan. Now we have a family plan, and we can hone it to make it our own. And I love that I took this study in a church with a bunch of other women, because I look around now and in my church, and, you know, Betsy's daughter Emily has my kids right now, and I know what she's saying to them. She's saying, first time, right away, all the way, happy heart. And, you know, she's telling them to do something. And, you know, I hear a mom across the hall at church, and she said, now say, okay, mommy. And I look, and I'm like, there's an Entrusted mom. Because we tell our kids, you know, we're all kind of on the same page.
And reinforcing those same values.
Yes.
Reinforcing the same values and encouraging each other and sharpening each other and helping each other and listening and, yes. and really taking it in and saying, well, what do you do here? Well, you know, remember what this, you know, remember what we heard here? And it's so encouraging, and really, it's fun.
And you cover in this material so many different aspects of marriage and parenting, starting with living under the authority of God's Word and making that your blueprint, your roadmap for all of life. In fact, while we were recording the last session, one of our staff who's been listening in came into me. She's a single woman, and she said, I want to get this book now so I can be reading it yes. in preparation for the day when God will give me children. And I think it was you, Gina, who you were telling me just a little bit ago that this is a resource you wish you had had before you got married.
Yes, because I do feel like there's so many challenges in marriage when you're living with a sinner and you're a sinner, and you could avoid so many pitfalls and arguments and the waste of life issues that Betsy talked about earlier in the week. And just knowing what not a biblical roadmap looks like. But for me, what I got out of it was daily hope in a tangible, practical way. Like, what can I do? I'm a very task-oriented person, and God's working with me to humble me and be more grace-oriented, and what are the steps that I can take in my parenting and in my marriage to reflect the love of Christ and to serve my family? And that's just something that's not taught in school or in college, or it's not natural. And so I really felt like when I first took this class, you know, even though I had all these degrees, I wanted to get an A+ in this class on my report card. And it's like God's the judge. And that's what I told Betsy was, I was so excited because I had poured out all of my energies into these other areas, and they were temporal. They were just a season of my life as a single woman or as a working person. And these things I'm pouring into now, they're eternal. They're for the eternal glory of God and for my children and for my husband. So I just felt like I embraced this teaching, and I thought, you know, all those hours I spent sitting for the CPA and doing my auditing career, it's just so small and inconsequential to studying God's Word and trying to apply that to my daily life so God can change me.
And to be entrusted with a child's heart, what greater privilege, blessing, joy, mission in life could there be? Next to knowing the Lord yourself.
And that's easy for us to say now, but it takes a while for God to open your eyes to that truth. And it's hard to find in today's world because you really have to be intentional. And I think I had the sin not of commission, of doing the wrong things. I had the sin of omission, of not running hard after him as my first love and losing that along the way. And that's what revived in me a spirit of seeking the Lord through this ministry that was so exciting and fun.
Now, I love how you talk about the content being grace-filled and grace-based, because what hope do any of us have apart from God's grace. But I know there's one topic that when you get onto it, and you do have to get onto it when you talk about raising children, that it's hard to know how it goes with grace. And that's the whole issue of discipline, the D word.
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, right. and you tackle that subject in this – tackle, maybe that's not the best word. You address that subject so effectively, I think, in this book. And there's not – you know, this is not a one-size-fits-all, that it always looks the same for every child, for every family. But there are some basic biblical principles of discipline. And you say, can you discipline and be grace-based at the same time? Betsy, can you really – practice biblical discipline in the home with your children of various ages and still have that be grace-filled?
Yes, you can, because what you do is you teach your children limits. And when they assert their will against those limits, discipline is the answer. It's the God-given biblical answer to a child asserting their will, or they will never learn to submit that will, not just to you, but to their Heavenly Father. So we teach what that means. Now, there's examples of immaturity in a child's life or just not understanding. Those aren't issues of discipline, but we teach that when a child outrightly disobeys or defies, those are issues of discipline. And then we create, in essence, boundaries for their life. It's like a big circle. And they realize that life inside the circle is full of grace and tenderness and learning, but also not just – we don't want to be women that are just reacting to crisis and things by watching our children try to run to the outside of the circle. But we are training them how to obey so that they can put on that behavior and not even have to receive the consequences. But when they do go to that edge of the circle, which requires discipline – then we have to be quick to respond and consistent so that they learn that that holds, that that anchor in their life holds. And it looks, you know, younger children are disciplined differently than older children, and we go into that quite in detail.
So let's talk about a younger child, 2 or 3 year old, and obviously it's not in the scope of this program to go into a lot of detail. That's why this study is available. But just briefly, Steph, you've had younger children. How do you think about dealing with defiance, disobedience, when it comes to your children?
I totally tackle them. I throw them down.
Edit that off.
No, you have to tackle their little hearts is what you have to do. And like Betsy said, there are their hearts are in different places at different times. And if we are, as moms, if we're training ourselves to see, okay, are they just being ignorant right here? I mean, in the nicest possible way, do they just not know, or do they need a little encouragement, or are they deliberately defying me?
And in order to know that, it's important to know that the direction has been clear and the guidelines and the parameters are clear.
The direction is clear, the guidelines, parameters are clear, and you are paying attention to your children, and you need to know where it's coming from, and you can even ask them questions to try and figure out what happened and really, really to know where are their hearts. Let's look at their hearts. The Lord looks at the heart. Let's look at their hearts. When they deliberately defy is when we discipline. And, you know, Betsy has created this Take Them Full Circle, and you can probably explain it way better than I can. I would love it if you did, but it definitely, you know, show them what they did that was wrong, have them make sure that they admit that and repent of it, and show them what the right way would be. Replace the wrong behavior with right behavior, and then restore, you know, their hearts to the Lord.
There's sort of 4 things we take a child through when they've disobeyed willfully and asserted their will, because we have to get their will submitted to us. And if we don't, then we've missed the point. And part of that is teaching a humility of heart towards their parents. And I like it that it's a little microcosm of the gospel, actually, because you haven't truly repented or moved on if you haven't humbled your heart. And so what we do is we have mothers go through this full circle with them, and they just stop in their tracks, and they say, you know, really, what just happened here? I asked you to do something, and you didn't do it. And so they have to recognize, oh, I did willfully disobey you.
That's like God saying to Adam in the garden, what did you do?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Starting place there.
Exactly.
I'm bust in here and just say, when Betsy said stop them in their tracks, you do it right away. These are little kids. They're not going to remember
right.
10 minutes later or
when daddy
gets
home.
They're not going to remember that. Mm-hmm. You do it right now and you do it and then it's over and that's where the grace comes in. It's over. There's no let's go to timeout and you can think about it. And they're like, what am I going to think about? I need a sucker right now. You know,
the
you
most right humane away. Thing about biblical discipline is that it releases that burden that I have sinned or wronged or, you know, done something wrong and that I've got to carry that. That's really torturous for a young child. And really, this study, I like to remind people, it's entrusted with a child's heart, not their body and their behavior, although we are entrusted with those things. But ultimately, it's their heart. And so in discipline, we say, you know, really, what just happened here? And I asked you to put your shoes on and you didn't. So, you know, what would the right choice have been? And then they verbalize, they're owning it and saying, I should have put my shoes on. And then you say, well, what would happen the next time we go through this? It's sort of a training. Well, Mommy, I will put my shoes on the next time you ask me. And then we say, okay, everything is cleared up between us. And if it's willful defiance, of course, there comes, you know, the discipline comes in there also. But it clears the slate for them so that they know that they are restored to you. And that is what builds a child's heart. They build this connection with you rather than feeling, growing up and thinking, I did something wrong, I'm going to hide it from my parents. They want to come to you and work it out because they want to have that feeling and that connection with their parents. Kids really, really do. And then that's the inside of the circle that you're building with that relationship with your kids.
They have that freedom of the relationship. They are free now to just live their life because they have repented of the wrong and they can just go on and
yes.
not be burdened with their sin.
And the key word is the connection. You want to stay connected to their heart. So you're not exasperating them and you're not punishing them too hard or in your anger lashing out at them. And that's the hard part of self-control, is you want to stay connected and do it in a tender way that's penetrating to their heart. It's easy to say, but hard to do.
Well, and it sounds like you can't effectively discipline your own children if your own heart is not disciplined.
Yes.
Yes. And I think that's a great point of what Stephanie says. You need to address things right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens so often with mothers, they'll say, you know, I want you to stop doing that. And then they go about making dinner. And then they say, no, I really mean it. You have to stop doing that.
20 times later.
And then what is she doing? Then she's very frustrated and overreactive to
right.
the situation.
Right.
Whereas if you just address it immediately, and so many times mothers will say, well, do I have to address it immediately? It's just a little thing. Well, it's just a little thing if you address it immediately, but otherwise it gets to be blown up into this great big thing, and then you have sort of a World War III on your hands with your three-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So, but really to go completely, because, you know, we're so willing mothers to let our children buy with things and we think we're being kind. But
yes.
in the long run, we're really not. We've got to work on the heart of where their heart is in each one of those moments so that they get the lesson of humbling their heart. I don't want to really call out my granddaughter on this, but I was in the store and we have store rules. We have 5 store rules and we say them before we go into the store. And so when I was doing this with my granddaughter and I said, well, one of the store rules is that you don't leave me. And I was with 4 grandchildren. She was 7. So there was, you know, 7, 6, 5, and 3. And I said, you cannot leave me because I've got 4 children here. And we were just going to have so much fun in the store and we were all looking for a little treat. And I said, but you cannot. I have to be able to see you at every single moment. You cannot even go into the next aisle without me. And she did. She went into the aisle because she was so excited to see what the next aisle had. And I said, oh my goodness, now we have to leave the store. I'm so sad, but you didn't obey. And now there's a consequence. And so often we just like to just gloss that over. But mm-hmm. this turns out to be a huge life lesson, but also a lesson to me because I said, now what happened there? And she was bound and determined to say, but you knew I was there. And she was rationalizing what
yeah.
she did.
And
not
don't we
owning
do that?
It.
Yes.
We do. So
totally.
This first step of owning what you did is massive because I literally sat there with her for 15 minutes and just thought, just say that it was wrong. Just say that you followed your own will to do what you wanted to do. And I was just sort of watching it in amazement. All you have to do is say that. But you knew that I was going there, and it was her response. And I just said, you just need to say that you knew it was wrong and you did it.
Isn't it funny how resistant the kids are to admitting yes. that they're wrong, and how resistant
and so we are
we
too.
Are. I mean, it's such pride. And
but when she did it, the thing that was amazing is she wasn't fighting the consequence that we had to leave. She was fighting owning it,
humbling her heart.
Yeah. And that's what mothers do. They don't wait for that point. They don't go through this whole process with their kids, and so they're really not accomplishing the goal of discipline. So when that happened, it was a breakthrough. And when it's a breakthrough with your kids, they get it. It makes a point that is lasting. And then you're not feeling like you're disciplining them constantly mm-hmm. because it is so effective. God's ways are amazing. And it's so interesting to me that people want to do anything but God's ways. But if we believe Jesus, we believe what he says. And then we do what he says. And
so what is the goal of discipline? Whether younger children or older children, what's the goal? What are you shooting for?
Well, we want them to feel that they have a connection with the Lord, that in the same way that they would have with their mother or their father, that God is their authority, and that they live in fear of God their whole lives. And it starts out sort of the fear of crossing over the line, but then later on it's a healthy, loving fear of living with God and connection with God. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately that's what we want for our children. And we want them to know that whenever they've messed up, they have a way back. And that's what discipline does for a child's heart.
And that's the gospel, to know that when we have messed up, by God's grace, because of what Christ has done for us on the cross, there is a way back. And the way back is not to just be better, do more. It's through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And it brings to mind, as we're talking about the goal of discipline, that wonderful passage in Hebrews chapter 12 that talks about spiritual discipline in the lives of believers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how God is our Father, disciplines us for our good. Yes. And then that verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 12, for the moment, while you're in that parking lot of the store dealing with that situation, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. I mean, sin does have consequences. And disciplining your children involves appropriate consequences for certain behaviors that are age appropriate and, and effective. So it seems all discipline for the moment seems painful rather than pleasant. You think, why do it then? If it's painful, we want pleasant. We don't want painful. Well, here's the why. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Amen.
Yes, of course, that's talking about our own walk with the Lord. In time, if we will let God's discipline take hold in our lives, though it's painful, it will produce a peaceful fruit of righteousness.
Yes.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss talking with two younger moms, Gina Cho and Steph Caterer. And Nancy's been talking with Betsy Corning, author of Entrusted with a Child's Heart. We'd like to send you this book from Betsy when you support Revive Our Hearts with a donation of any size. The book will inspire you to invest in your children's lives and show you how to take practical steps in training them. Whether you're a mom or know a mom who could use this book, I hope you'll donate any amount at reviveourhearts.com. Once you provide your gift, you'll have a chance to indicate that you'd like the book, Entrusted. Or you can ask for it when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. You have a chance to ask Betsy Corning your question about parenting. She's part of our Revive Our Hearts listener blog today. Just visit reviveourhearts.com, find the title of today's program, it's called Don't Delay in Guiding Your Child, and click on Comments. You can then add your comment or question and read what Betsy Corning is posting for our listeners. Again, that's at reviveourhearts.com. Well, Betsy Corning will be back tomorrow. She'll show you why behavior modification isn't enough. You need to be praying about your child's heart. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.